my name's Jacob Burns. I'm 16 years old, and I'm interviewing my dad. What's your name and age?
Rob Burns, age 59.
We're doing this interview on March 7th, 2022, in our house. So, just to get started, I just wanted to get a little bit of a backstory on your life. So, I'm going to ask you a few questions about that. First of all, where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in the city of Chicago, and that's where I spent the first 2.5 years of my life. And then the family moved to Glenview, and I spent the remainder of my youth growing up in Glenview.
What was your family like growing up?
My family was pretty close. There was a total of 3 boys and 1 girl, and we always did family things together and certainly had all our meals together.
And speaking of a little bit later in your life, what did your life look like around the time when 9/11 occurred?
At that point, I was married. Don't believe I had any children at that time, and we were living in a house in Glenview.
All right. So I'm going to go more in depth about the 9/11 war on terror portion. So the world has changed for Americans since the attacks on September 11th, 2001. No longer are Americans safe from international terrorists and the violence they perpetrate. Now, the United States has engaged in military action in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Were these actions an appropriate response to the events on 9/11?
The question is, were those actions the appropriate response to the attacks on 9/11?
Yes,
they were, because if we did nothing, we would be telling the world then it's okay to do whatever you want to the United States. But the United States proved that if you're going to rain terror on us, we will come after you and we won't stop until we find you.
And can you just give us a little story of what you were doing during when 9/11 occurred?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just waking up, getting ready for the day. I turned the TV on in the bedroom to just kind of catch the news as I was getting dressed. When out of the corner of my eye, I saw a plane hit one of the Twin Towers. And initially, I thought it was just a fluke or an accident that a plane had crashed in there. And so I continued to watch to see if something else would unfold and therefore clarify the story. And sure enough, in a matter of minutes, another plane crashed, and that just solidified my theory that it could be terrorism. And so I remember at that point it was a question of am I going to stay here and watch the rest of this news story, or am I going to go to work, because it was such a gripping news story. I opted to stay home and watch the news story.
And how has your life changed or been affected by what took place on that terrible day?
Well, mainly flying is more stricter. It's much more difficult to fly and go to the airport and check in and check out. And then shortly thereafter, there was somebody that had a bomb in their shoe that they tried to ignite on the flight. And then right after that, everybody had to take their shoes off at the airport. So some of the things we have taken for granted, mainly traveling, has gotten much stricter and more difficult because of 9/11.
Can you curious how, like, more lenient it was before 9/11 occurred in the airports.
I don't know that I have specifics. The one was the shoe incident, and people had to take their shoes off. I remember one time I had to take my belt off, empty your pockets. We've always had the metal detector, and mainly you go to the metal detector, and the attendants there are looking for weapons or guns. But now, after 9/11, you know, they're looking for explosives, they're looking for any quantity of fluids, they're looking for a lot more, and so it takes a lot longer to go through the, you know, the screening process now.
In your opinion, do you think they kind of go, like, overboard on that process, like, looking for every little thing?
No, it's because you always get, you know, copycat terrorists that will try to do the same thing, and we're not talking about, you know, a taxi drive, we're talking about an airline where 200 people could be killed because of one incident. So, unfortunately, what bothers me is that all the criminals in the world cost the good people millions and millions of dollars. And so this is no different. You know, you have a few bad people that set the tone, and now we're spending all kinds of money on preventative equipment to make sure that the planes are safe, but it's a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm. Did this event cause you to look differently at the world today?
Absolutely. It's like a piece of my trust has been severed. I guess you would treat the world as a whole and trust everybody in general, but the more something like this happens, the less you trust, and the more your guard is up, and the less relaxed you are, the more stress you have, the more anxiety you have. It's just everybody's affected by it.
So, what other alternatives might our government have pursued instead of what they did?
Well, they could have shut down borders, not allowed people in and out of the country, but that's pretty extreme. I have never really thought of an alternative to what they've done.
Well, did you approve the way that President Bush handled the war on terror?
Yes. I don't believe I had any objections to it.
And how did he handle it?
Well, he was going after, was it Osama bin Laden?
Mm-hmm.
Getting my names mixed up. And, you know, it was a top secret. I mean, I don't know if it was top secret, but, if I'm not mistaken, it took them about 10 years to actually find him and kill him. But, no, I was, in agreement with what they did. I didn't have any disagreements.
How did, like, you and other Americans react when Osama bin Laden was taken out?
It was a sense of relief that, you know, he couldn't try to do this kind of thing again. And obviously we've been looking for him for a long time, so I was glad that he was found.
Did you feel you felt safer because of that?
Slightly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How has your, I guess we kind of said this, how has your life been affected since 9/11? We kind of went into that about the airports, but were there any other things you wanted to add?
No, I think that was mainly it.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, do you think this quote unquote war on terror is winnable?
No, I don't think you'll ever completely put it to rest. It's the kind of thing that anybody can get their hands on how to make a bomb through the internet, and there's so many different factions throughout the world that our government isn't big enough, we don't have enough intel that we could possibly wipe out terrorism altogether. I think it's always going to be there in some form or another, as long as there's people that disagree with, you know, Western civilization and our government.
Do you think the government should do more, like crack down, make more laws to try to prevent like more people from rising up and committing terrorism, or do you think that's just futile?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good word. It's futile. I can't think of what they could possibly do.
So, President Obama brought most of the troops home from Iraq. Do you agree or disagree with this decision?
Honestly, I kind of feel ignorant about that discussion. I feel like I have a lot of questions, and I don't, I never felt like I stayed really closely in tune with what was going on in order to say what is right or what is wrong, so I don't even want to answer that one, because, I just feel like there's so much information I need in order to make that decision whether they should come home or not. In one sense, you know, they can't stay there forever. We have to teach that country to survive on their own. And, you know, like Vietnam, we gave up all of our men to fight and die for another country. And I don't think we can keep doing that. So, to come full circle, I think, yes, the right decision was to bring them back home.
Do you by chance know anyone who's, like, personally in the, like, war in Afghanistan? Do you know, like...
No, I do not.
Well, this question was a little bit So, in July of 2021, President Joe Biden had announced that he would end the U.S. combat mission in Iraq by the end of 2021, which he did. He pulled out the troops. What was your opinion on this? And after seeing terrorism resurface in that country, did you think that this decision was overall a good one or a bad one?
I have mixed feelings about that because think all the time we spent there was just wasted. On the other hand, I don't think we can stay there indefinitely, and so I'm not really sure what the answer is. So I've got mixed feelings about it.
So what was your view of the way that President Trump had handled the war on terror as Commander-in-Chief?
What did he do? I don't recall. I really don't recall what Trump had done positively on the war on terrorism, so I really don't have an opinion on that.
Does the threat of terrorism figure prominently in the decision you make on Election Day?
It does a little bit, yeah. I mean, usually I'm voting for the guy I feel like I can trust the most, and he will come through with his promises. But I also will vote for somebody who has some backbone. If somebody has no backbone, then I don't think they're going to be able to lead us into war or lead us in the war on terror. So it does come into play in who I elect.
And do you think that's more public? Leadership aspect of the person, or like what they say they're actually going to do about the war on terror?
That's, I read between the lines because I found a lot of politicians will say anything you want to hear just to get elected. So I prefer to read between the lines and see if I can trust or believe what they are saying. So it's not so much what they're saying, but it's how they're saying it and whether or not it's believable. That'll make me vote for them.
Okay. Now, many Americans are frightened of the idea of terrorism in their day-to-day lives. Do you think that the fear itself of terrorism is being blown out of proportion, or do you think that people should be rightfully frightened by it, knowing its history?
I don't think you have to be frightened by it on a daily basis. It's certainly not something that crosses my mind in a month's time unless I see it on TV. But I don't anticipate running into any terrorism, you know, in Glenview. And you're more apt to run into it in the inner city, but even then, we haven't seen any terrorist attacks in quite a while, so I don't think it's something that people have to worry about on a daily basis.
Okay. Do you think that the United States government is doing too much or too little to protect us against terrorism?
I think they're doing the right amount. I think they're doing what they can with what they have. Years ago, there was no Homeland Security, and I believe Homeland Security started with 9/11. And so there's been a great more focus on home terrorism, and I believe they've been doing a good job of staying on top of it and protecting us.
All right, so we're going to go back a little bit to the actual event of 9/11 and how you reacted to it. So when you saw the planes crash into the Twin Towers, who, if anyone, did you reach out to?
I don't think I really reached out to anybody immediately. I was just watching it unfold on TV. Probably the first person I talked to was my boss. But I didn't, because it was in New York and it wasn't close to home, I wasn't reaching out to my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm.
And did you hear about it? Or, well, I'm sure you did, but how long after that did you hear about it from people you know, like your brothers and sisters?
Well, it became the talk of the day. It became the talk of the week for everybody. It was such a big deal. Everybody was talking about it. So once I got to work, I was talking to people about it, and then later on that day, I think I might have been on the phone with my sister talking to her about it.
Was your reaction to it any similar or different to the people you talked to?
I think everybody's reaction was the same. We're all just in shock, wondering where the heck this came from, because it came out of nowhere. It was totally unexpected. Mm-hmm. And all the news stations were covering it. And they were talking about how there was one particular plane that crashed in a farm field in Philadelphia, and it was believed that people on the plane had already received phone calls from relatives about the Twin Towers got hit. And then these guys had gotten hijacked, and so now they knew it was all connected, and it's my belief that they barnstormed the cockpit and actually drove that plane into the ground before it could do any more damage to, I think the plane was headed for the White House, but, because of everybody on board that helped out, I think it barnstormed the cockpit and actually ended up driving the plane into the ground.
Yeah, interesting story, for sure. Do you know anyone who died or was personally affected by 9/11?
I do not.
For how long after the attacks were you hearing about it in the news or by word of mouth?
Gosh, it seemed like for months. It was just, not only did the Twin Towers come down and they damaged several buildings around them as they were falling, but then there was the whole cleanup effort. And then there was a talk about a memorial, and so, it was months later they were still talking about it. And then, they were talking about tracking down who was responsible and then going after him, and so it wasn't something that died quickly. You heard about it for months afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about some specific people, like people who helped clean up and people who were in the plane who stopped the terrorists from crashing into the White House, for example. What was your opinion on those people?
Well, the people who stopped the plane from crashing into the White House were heroes. I mean, they knew they were going to die. We're already getting phone calls on the plane from other people telling them, the Twin Towers were hit and the Pentagon was hit, and so if your plane is being hijacked, the next target is probably going to be the White House. And so I think if I was in that plane, I would have done the same thing that those guys did. It's just all get together and try to overthrow the cockpit. And if you can save it and have a safe landing, great. But I got a feeling there was a knife fight and a struggle in that cockpit, and it just drove that plane straight into the ground. There was no hope of saving it. So those people were heroes, because there could have been a lot more casualties than just those that were on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were many people, many firefighters, for example, who died trying to save people in the actual towers.
True.
So, did you hear any stories about that? Or was that on the news?
Yeah, that was a big one that I forgot about. There was a lot of firefighters that were going up in these towers trying to save people. Was there a total of 3,000 people that died?
Something
like that in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you had firefighters coming from all over the country. There's a lot of Chicago firefighters that just jumped in their truck and took off and went to New York to try to help out. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the actions of these people were very brave. Do you think you would have done the same?
You don't know unless you're in the moment, but I think if I was on the plane and I'm thinking this plane is going down, there's no saving it, then I would have joined my comrades, so to speak, and try to overthrow the cockpit so that we could at least steer it into a farm field and not into the White House, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was downtown New York and all this was going on, I'd probably be running in the opposite direction, just like everybody else, because all of downtown just became one big dust bowl. There was just so much dust everywhere. When these buildings collapsed, they were rolling dust, and people were covered head to toe in dust. They could barely see. There was a lot of dust downtown at that time.
So we are getting near the end of the interview. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about in relation to 9/11 or the war on terror? Any last opinions? Questions, anything?
You know, in hindsight, it's a shame that Osama bin Laden was able to pull off what he did. And I guess nobody saw it coming, because nobody had ever seen this level of terrorism before. And I don't know, it cost him around $1 million or several $1 million in order to pull this off, which most people don't have in order to pull off a terrorist attack. So, hope to God it never happens again. It's unfortunate that we couldn't see any red flags to try to head it off before it happened. But that's kind of life, you know. We learn from our mistakes and then we move on. And there's going to be something new around the corner that we're not anticipating yet. But someday it'll be here, and that's going to change our life again.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add? Or?
No.
All right, well, thank you so much for doing this interview. It was a privilege to hear your story, and I'm really grateful that you did this with me.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
Have you guys